This morning, I want to start and I want to name a tension that exists in the church between two competing mindsets. And these mindsets are what Kurt Fredrickson, a seminary professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, names as a fundamental challenge for the church today. The first mindset is what Fredrickson titles a sent church. A sent church. And we know from the narrative of Scripture that God is a missionary God, always on the move, expanding God's kingdom, and the church is called to follow the same kind of sent mentality. But this biblical mandate has, in many corners of the church, particularly in North America, been replaced by what Fredrickson then calls a settled mindset. A settled mindset. And a settled church is content doing really nice ministry for many, many years, taking care of one another, doing good ministry inside the walls of the church. And there's a sense of being content and safe environment. There's little risk taking. And there's danger that happens when a church gets settled. We would say that this tension has always existed, ever since the church was established in the first century. But what we see today, given the particular challenging landscape in the world that we live in, it is something that is permeating across the church. And we are faced with the reality that not only does a sense of being settled severely limit the witness of the church to be a light in the world, but it also puts the church at risk of dying, a slow death, where rather than an urgency to be purposeful and live into this calling given by Jesus when he established the church, instead the church begins to become irrelevant, even useless, only surviving until the little last bit of saving runs out and doors are closed. So just this past week, we jumped back into a sermon series that we started last spring that we are calling This Is Us. It's a series in which we're preaching through our brand new mission and vision and values document. And it is an essential conversation for New City as we dig into the foundation of who we are as a church in this new season that we are in. And it's a timely conversation because, like many churches in the United States, New City exists in a very interesting and challenging age where the church is becoming less and less relevant in society, less and less a place of hope and encouragement, less and less a place that resembles the early church that we read about even last week when we dug into Acts chapter 2. And so for us, it's a vital conversation, and it is vital that we define not only our mission and vision, but what God has called us to be as a community as well. And so you are here at a pivotal time in this conversation. New City's vision, it's going to be on the screen for us, is to be a catalyst for Christ-like change through authentic community and generous service. This is what we have named as our vision. We are expecting God to change us, to deepen us, to grow us. There's a constant state of growth and discipleship, and so we want to be a catalyst for Christ-like change. But we do that through this incredible value for authentic community and generous service. And so a part of our This Is Us sermon series then is we're unpacking the vital characteristics of what make up an authentic community for us as a church. Because we hold these things as valuable in our community, and we name what defines us. And what defines us will set the trajectory that we are on as a congregation. And so we dig into what it means to be in community together. And the challenge is important, that each of us, individually and as a church, go deeper in our faith and our connection to one another together. That's the secret word in this whole thing, that as we go deeper in our faith with Christ and we reach out to one another, that we're doing this together. That's what defines community so beautifully. And we started defining authentic community last week with which I think is the most important thing, and you won't be surprised by this, but that is Jesus Christ. That our community is defined first by a devotion to Christ. That is the first priority for us as a church, that we are devoted to Jesus, that Jesus gets all the glory for everything that we do. But the second thing that I want to talk about today is our purpose together. That as a community, as we define what it looks like to be in this authentic community, we are on purpose together with one another. Now, I want to jump back into the tension that I named just a few minutes ago between the church being either a sent or a settled church. Because how we define community, namely the shared values that we live into, will determine if we indeed are living into this idea of being sent or if we're living into the idea of being settled. So the Apostle Paul understood this tension that existed in the newly formed church back in the first century. Paul's writings can be characterized with an urgency to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. If you read all throughout the New Testament, you see it. Paul was convinced that Jesus is the hope for the world, and everything he talked about reflected this. He urged people to live into this sent calling, both individually and as a community of believers. And a great example of this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is our scripture text for the day. So if you have your Bibles, or if you want to pull out the Bible app, there's a Bible in the chairs in front of you, but we will have it up on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to first read verses 17 through 20. These hopefully are familiar verses to you, and here's what they say. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Now, there is so much in this passage that we could unpack. So many things. This is a rich passage of Scripture. But I especially love and want to name today what we find in verse 20 when it says that we are Christ's ambassadors. Now, this past Thursday, the New City leadership team met. As is our tradition, the New City leadership team meets the second Thursday of every month, and we talk about different important details and different strategies and different things that we need to talk about as a leadership team. And it just so happened that the Minnesota Vikings, even though they lost, I'm going to bring this up, they also played on Thursday night. So I thought, in the spirit of trying to have some fun together, I would encourage the leadership team to wear their favorite Vikings, you know, swag, their garb, the uniforms that they might have. And so I had a couple extra jerseys, and the New City leadership team actually did a really good job of being good sports. They even let me take a picture of them, right? And so we put on our jerseys, and we put, you know, you can see Dan has the hat on and the t-shirt. Hervé's in the video screen in the back. He didn't have any Vikings gear with him over in France, but it was still pretty cool to be together. And these are good sports, right? Now, what's interesting, and just leave that picture up for a minute, Dylan. What's interesting about this picture is that even though we are wearing, you know, kind of authentic Minnesota Vikings jerseys, like potentially the same kind of jerseys that at some different era the Minnesota Vikings would have wore, nobody's looking at us and going, they must play for the Minnesota Vikings, right? I mean, I don't think you're going to get that sense from us, and that's not a criticism of this wonderful group. But we don't really look like we're NFL players. We don't have the muscle mass. We don't have the NFL pedigree. We don't have whatever kind of swag or arrogance comes with an NFL player, right? We are only, and it's a little bit of a stretch to say this for a few people, but we are at best fans of our favorite football team, the Minnesota Vikings, right? Maybe it's not your favorite football team, but in at least for the sermon illustration, it is, right? We're just fans. We're on Team Viking. We're cheering them on and having fun with it. That's what we're doing in this picture, and most of us can relate with something like that. But when Paul names what it's like to be an ambassador, I think sometimes we think it's a lot like being a fan. And that's not at all what Paul's intention were when he said that you are called to be Christ's ambassador. Being a fan is not what he was talking about in this passage. When Paul says that you are an ambassador, he's not saying that our posture is the same as a Minnesota Vikings fan. We're not on Team Jesus. We're not just cheering Jesus on. We're not just supporting what Jesus is doing as if we're watching it on the TV. No, Paul is saying something more appealing. And Dylan, you can go ahead and take that photo down for me. Paul is saying something more appealing. He's saying that God is literally speaking through you. That's what it means to be an ambassador. That you are called to be an ambassador for the Lord. It might be in your school. It might be at your job. It might be your home, in your neighborhood. It might be when you're playing video games online. It might be when you're practicing for gymnastics or whatever it is that God's calling you to do. It might be at a budget meeting after church. That you're literally called to speak for the Lord as if Jesus is standing there next to you. You get to be his ambassador. Being an ambassador is an incredible honor and a high calling. We get to represent Jesus in every area of our lives. Now, Paul actually gives us a roadmap of what it looks like to be an ambassador in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He actually talks about how we accomplish this task, of how we go about being a sent people, a sent church as ambassadors for Christ. And what I love about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is that what Paul's doing here, he's not giving you just another to-do list to follow. Paul's just not giving you another set of rules to follow. What actually Paul is trying to do is remind you of who you are in Jesus, of who you already are when you said yes to Christ. And so to get to this, we actually need to go back a couple verses, if you'll humor me. And let's just go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. If you've got your Bibles open, you look, it's going to be on the screen. And let's read a couple verses starting with verse 14. So Paul says, because we are convinced that one died for all, that is, that Jesus died for all, because we're convinced that Jesus died for all, and therefore all died, and Jesus, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul is trying to get this idea through to us that before we started following Jesus, we lived for ourselves. Before we committed to Christ, we were all about living for our own needs, our own wants. I know that was true of me, and maybe you can resonate with that as well. In fact, maybe you think of your life before Jesus, and what you remember was not a very good version of yourself. Maybe some of you lived into sort of the ugly side of life. Maybe there was sin and shame that you dealt with. Maybe there was things that you would say you would never even want to remember. Or maybe before you started living for Jesus, some of you lived really good lives, moral lives, lives that were exemplary in a lot of ways, but it was still for yourself. When we said yes to Jesus, we gave up living for ourselves. And we now declared that we would live for Jesus. That's the difference. Whether you have an ugly past, in some ways a beautiful past, the difference is that we're all built as humans to live for ourselves. But when we said yes to Christ, we surrendered that and we started to live for Jesus. And I love that. And Paul's saying, now that you follow Jesus, you have stepped into a process. Everybody smile and say, process sounds real fun, doesn't it? Well, actually, it's interesting. He's saying in this scripture that you've stepped into a process, and in that process, you will, this term will that he uses is a future term, you will no longer live for yourself, but instead you will live for Jesus, and it's a process. And isn't that the truth? Following Jesus is a process. There's weeks where we might feel like we take 3 or 4 steps forward with Christ, and there are weeks, certainly, when we feel like we take 3 or 4 steps back. And that's the process of growth and transformation. That is the calling of discipleship, is to take more steps forward than we take back. We are being made like Jesus. That's what this process points to. We are going somewhere in the name of Christ. We are in the process of growth. We no longer live for ourselves. Our identity is now different. Your identity is now who you will be. And it's true. God is taking you somewhere. If you've ever studied a foreign language before, many of you in this room I know have, you know that this principle is true in studying a foreign language, that it's a process. Somebody might say to you, hey, do you speak Spanish? And you might say, sí, right? Or no, you know two Spanish words, right? Or you might know a couple of other words like zapatos, which means shoes, or donde está el baño, which means where is the bathroom? Thank you, right? And you might say, yes, I speak Spanish, but you probably wouldn't necessarily consider yourself fluent, right? Able to translate for another Spanish speaker to an English speaker, but you're in process. You're growing in your ability to speak the language. You're on the Duolingo every single day, right? How many of you used Duolingo before? Oh, you got to try Duolingo. It's an app on your phone. It's so great, especially for little 12-year-old girls who want to learn how to speak Spanish. Anyways, that's another story. But we know that you might know a little bit about one language. Maybe it's French that you speak or Spanish. But there's so much more to learn, and it is a process. So you might say, yes, I'm a Spanish speaker, but I'm going to be even better. I'm going to grow in my ability to speak this language. And the reality is this. We all want to know that we are going somewhere. We all want to know that we are making progress in our lives. And here's the thing, is I believe that the devil, who is the enemy of God, wants nothing more than to convince us that we are stuck, that we're not growing, that we're stuck right where we are. The devil wants to convince us that who we are right now is who we will always be. That progress will never be made, that you are stuck. And that is true of us individually. And friends, that is true of us as a church. And maybe some of you feel like that right now. Maybe some of you feel like you're not making any progress, you feel stuck. And I just want to make an encouraging word for you today, because I want you to hear this, whether you're online or sitting in this room, whether you're watching this video in the future at some point, you are doing better than you think you are. Be encouraged. You're doing better than you think you are. Because look where you are right now. Here you are sitting in this church, opening up the Word of God, encouraging one another by shaking each other's hands, drinking coffee together, which matters, investing in our incredible kids. You're going deeper in your relationship with Jesus even right now. You're doing better than you think you are. You're in process. You're growing. This is a beautiful moment that God is shaping you and He's shaping me. We are growing, and we're growing into who God is calling us to be. And that can't be missed. Who God is calling us to be. And you know something? God's word makes a promise about this that I want you to hear today. In Philippians chapter 1, it's going to be on the screen. It says this, I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus' return. That God who began a good work in you will continue it until Christ Jesus returns. God started a work in you. God started a work in this church. God will continue a work in you. God will continue a work in this church. And God will finish that work in you as God finishes the work in this church. We are going somewhere. We are not who we will be. We are growing, and our hope is in this. But then Paul continues on in 2 Corinthians verse chapter 5, verse 17. He actually drops another truth that's worth naming as we think about this dynamic today. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. So again, now that you live for Jesus, therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. Paul is making an important point here. Before, he was saying that you are being made new. Trust the process. You're in it. But now he's saying, and you are new right now. You've already been made new. You've already now, as you've said yes to Christ, you've been forgiven. You're free. The slate has been wiped clean. The sin that once had you no longer defines you. You stand before God forgiven and free. You aren't who you used to be. You aren't defined by that old self anymore. And because of this, you are a new person. Now, when you screw up, and it's not a question of if you will screw up, it's a matter of when you screw up, when you fall back into that old lifestyle, you get the freedom to stand up and in the name of Jesus, brush that sin off of you and keep moving forward. You aren't defeated. You don't have to live in regret or shame. You're free of that. You are a brand new person. You're no longer defined by your past. The enemy wants you to be defined by your past. Satan would love nothing more than for you to constantly be reminded of your past and for that to define you. Jesus says, no, no longer. You are a new creation. Now, remember what we're talking about here because it's incredibly important to keep us centered on the point. We are talking about being ambassadors for Christ. And none of us are good enough. That's the best thing that makes up New City, is that we're all a bunch of people who have failed in our lives and we are just trying to follow Jesus and be redeemed by the grace of God. There's no perfect people here. But we are also called to be ambassadors. We represent Jesus. We speak for Jesus as ambassadors. This is the core of what it means to be a sent people, a sent church. And Paul is saying something that informs this entire conversation. He's saying that our identity informs our practice. Let me say that again. Our identity informs our practice. Our identity shapes our actions. I heard a pastor say it like this one time. When you know who you are, you know what to do. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. When you know who you are will inform what flows out of you. When you know what you have been saved from, you have this sense of purpose in your life because of what you've been saved from. What we know is that we are all sinners in need of the grace of God, and it is only by God's grace and love that we are saved. And we also know that there's a whole lot of people in this world, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our workplaces, that also need that same love and grace of Jesus that changed our lives. So what does this mean for us as a church? What does this mean for us as we strive to define authentic community? Well, when you know who you are, you will know what to do. We know we have been saved, and we know because of this that we are ambassadors of the living God, a God who desires for others to know him as well. So we know what to do. And so when we know how to act because of who we are, that means that when we evaluate our church and we ask, will we be a settled church or a sent church, we already know the answer to that question. We are called as a sent church. We know that individually we are called to be ambassadors, and so this church right here is filled with 50 to 70 beautiful ambassadors for the Most High God. And he is calling us to be a sent church because we know who we are. We know what we've been saved from. We know what defines our lives, and we know then what we should do. So when I emailed this week the principal of Edina High School, and I said, hey, how can our church be a blessing to you? How can our church serve you? Oh, and by the way, how can we pray for you? I said those things because we know who we are. When I emailed the mayor of Edina and asked the same thing, I said, tell us about the Edina community. Is there a need in Edina, Mr. Mayor, that we, New City Covenant Church, can meet the needs of? Because we know who we are. We know we're saved by the grace of God, and there's probably something that we can do to be a blessing. Oh, and Mr. Mayor, by the way, how can we pray for you? Because that's what we do. We pray for each other because we believe that there's power in prayer. When you know who you are, you know what you're called to do. And we are not called to be a settled church. We are called to be a sent church that is mighty because the Holy Spirit goes before us. We're discussing and we're praying over ways that we can together be a sent church, ways in which we can participate in building God's kingdom. We're looking at local options. We're looking at domestic options, those options within the United States. We're looking at international partnerships. What can we do as a church to be a blessing to this world? And by the way, if I may, we will not make an excuse for the size of our congregation. We will pray that God does mighty things with the 50 to 70 people that call New City home. We won't make an excuse that our budget isn't big enough or that there isn't more people coming. We won't make an excuse for that because God has called us nonetheless as ambassadors to make a difference in the world because of the story that we get to tell. Not that we're perfect, but we've been saved by Jesus, and others need to hear this as well. Being a sent church begins with an understanding that we are a sent people called first to be ambassadors. And New City then becomes a place where there's just a bunch of like-minded people who can't get over the grace of God, that our lives have been changed, and we just want others to know about it. If we want to be a settled church, do a really good job of caring for just one another, which is super important, that will be in some ways a really beautiful thing for about the next 2 years. But I don't believe this is who we're called to be. Yes, of course we're going to take care of each other. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to do everything we can to support each other, which, by the way, is the theme of the next several sermons. So come back next week. We'd love to keep talking about this. But make no mistake about it, this is a season, dear friends, where God is calling us each to consider how we are an ambassador and calling us as a church to a sent people. As part of our definition of being an authentic community, it's being a sent church together. We're called to be on purpose with one another. What an incredible call, an incredible gift. I love this calling to link arms together and see where Jesus takes us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you call us to be a sent people. That there are corners of our lives, Lord, where there's people who desperately need to hear the good news of Jesus. There's family members, maybe even our own kids. There's coworkers. There's people that we go to school with, people that we're on the dance team with, people that we sit in math class with. Father, there's people in our lives that we golf with or do different things with, God, that need to hear about the good news of Jesus. And Father, I'm not calling us to something that the world is going to reject. But Father, maybe the calling is just to be the fragrance of the beauty of Jesus Christ, to love people the way that you've loved us, to be a part of encouraging people in a way that deeply matters to them and to us. And Father, I pray that whoever that is that you've called us to, that Lord, you put them on our minds and our hearts right now, that Father, whoever you've called us to as a church, that Father, you would pave the way for that relationship, that partnership. Father, that there be needs that we could meet as a congregation in Edina, in the Twin Cities area, beyond that. And as we continue to define what it looks like to be a part of this community and New City, we pray that you'd get all the glory, that we would always point things to you, and we lay our lives at your feet. Because of your great love, our lives have been changed. Now use them to build your kingdom. We want to be a sent church, God. We pray these things in your name. Amen.